Imagine firing your entire video production crew and replacing them with a flowchart.
Yeah, which sounds crazy.
Right. Like a few years ago, that sounded like a ridiculous sci-fi pitch. But, in 2026, it is exactly what top-tier creative agencies are doing behind closed doors. So, welcome to today's deep dive. Today, we're looking at a complete paradigm shift in how professional media is made.
It really is a totally different landscape now.
Yeah. And our mission today is to unpack this huge stack of updates from the April 10th, 2026 edition of the Air Daily Newsletter. Because, well, there's a lot to get through.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, we spent the last couple of years watching people generate, quirky, sometimes terrifying 10-second clips.
Oh, yeah, the spaghetti eating videos.
Exactly, those. And we were all just marveling at the novelty of it. But the novelty era is, well, it's over.
It's totally over.
Right. The industry is no longer asking, can an AI generate this? The question is now entirely, how do I control this output to fit a rigorous, predictable professional pipeline?
And if you, the listener right now, if you have felt completely overwhelmed by the sheer volume of AI video models dropping like every other week, trust me, you are not alone.
Oh, the fatigue is very real.
It's so real. You've got different subscriptions, different interfaces, and just this constant fear of falling behind. But the good news from our sources today is that the industry is finally building the architecture to, tame that chaos.
Yeah, which is deeply validating to see.
Okay, let's unpack this. I've been digging through the latest drops, and the tools coming out right now are completely changing the game. We are finally building bridges between raw computational power and actual usable design workflows.
Absolutely. We're moving from tech demos to real tools.
Right. So let's start at the highest level of the user experience, which is dealing with the paradox of choice.
Oh, the subscription overload.
Yes. Up until like a minute ago, if you wanted the hyper-realistic physics of Kling 3.0, and
Yeah.
then you wanted the stylized motion of Veo 3.1, and the sheer cinematic fidelity of Sora 2.
You were paying for three separate ecosystem subscriptions.
Exactly. You were jumping between browser tabs, juggling passwords, and manually trying to figure out which model handled your specific prompt better. It was a nightmare for efficiency.
A total nightmare.
But something caught my eye about what Higgsfield AI just rolled out. They've launched a platform that unifies all of those major models, Kling, Veo, Sora, into a single interface.
Yeah, that's huge.
And it's not just like a basic text box wrapper, right? It gives you per frame, camera, motion, and style control across the board.
Which changes the math entirely for a freelance creator or a studio. Having all of those models accessible from a unified dashboard, I mean, it eliminates so much friction.
It really does.
But it's not just about convenience, it's about data normalization. Because when you type a prompt into Sora, it interprets language differently than Veo
Oh,
does.
right. They have different brains, essentially.
Exactly. So what platforms like Higgsfield are doing under the hood is acting as an abstraction layer. They translate your intent so that you don't have to become an expert prompt engineer in three different proprietary languages.
I look at it like, finally getting a universal remote for all your streaming services. But instead of just turning on the TV, it's also acting as a real-time universal translator.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. It speaks Sora, it speaks Kling, so you only have to speak your own creative language. And along those same lines of aggregation, the sources also highlighted Fal.ai's new 2026
Oh,
breakdown.
the benchmarking update.
Yeah. They are allowing users to benchmark Veo 3.1, Kling 2.5, Sora 2 Pro, and Wan 2.2 side by side. You can literally run the exact same prompt head to head on a single platform.
That benchmarking aspect, it really cannot be overstated. When you are operating in a professional capacity, every single generation costs compute.
And compute costs money.
Exactly.
But
A year ago, you might run 10 variations in a model, just, crossing your fingers. Today, an agency cannot just guess which model fits which shot.
right, they need hard data.
Yeah, and Fal.ai lets you see the literal latency, the cost per frame, and the visual output right next to each other. It's the difference between buying a car based on the brochure versus actually taking four different cars to the track on the same day.
Yeah, I love that analogy. But let me push back on this aggregation trend for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
By putting all these heavy hitter models under one roof and standardizing the interface with a, universal remote, don't we risk losing the unique flavor of these individual models?
How do you mean?
Well, are we flattening the technology by forcing them all to conform to a single set of sliders and dials? Like, do they lose their edge?
What's fascinating here is that the industry isn't flattening the technology at all. It's shifting our relationship to it. We are moving entirely from model loyalty to workflow efficiency.
Okay, so it's less about being a Sora fan or a Kling fan.
Exactly. It's no longer an online argument about whether Sora 2 Pro is objectively a better model than One 2.2. It's about recognizing use cases.
Give me an example of that.
So the underlying architecture of Kling 3.0 might be uniquely suited to calculate fluid dynamics, like water splashing against a product.
Okay.
While VO 3.1 might have a latent space that perfectly nails the stylized, anime-inspired motion you need for the next shot in that exact same commercial.
I see.
Right, so the unified interface doesn't dumb them down. It allows you to dynamically deploy the right brain for the right task based on the exact budget and compute constraints you have that day.
That makes a lot of sense. You're hiring the right contractor for the specific job rather than, you know, forcing one contractor to build the whole house.
Exactly.
But there is a danger in just staring at benchmark scores and compute costs all day. If you are an agency pitching a campaign, your client doesn't care that VO 3.1 scored 3 points higher on a technical motion chart.
Oh, absolutely not. They do not care.
Right. They care if the video sells their product and if it matches their brand guidelines. So how are professionals actually translating these specs into business solutions?
That is the crucial pivot right now. The technology has officially moved from being experimental to being expected.
Expected by the clients, you mean?
Yes. Clients are actively asking for AI workflows because they know it saves money. But they need someone to translate the raw tech into a dependable pipeline.
And the reading gave us a really sharp trio of guides that tackled this exact translation problem. Instead of just listing specs, Zapier put out a comprehensive breakdown of the 18 best AI video generators right now.
Yeah, that was a really practical list.
Very practical. Because they look at it purely from a business use case perspective. They analyze tools like Firefly, Kling, and Sora, not for their latent space architecture, but for pricing, strengths, and immediate utility.
Right, the stuff that actually matters to a marketing team.
Yeah. They found, for instance, that Adobe Firefly is heavily favored for strict brand compliance because of its safe training data, whereas Kling might be the go-to for, like, raw, physics-heavy visual hooks.
Because Zapier evaluates technology through the lens of a turnkey solution. Mm-hmm. I mean, a marketing manager doesn't want to compile code.
No, definitely not.
They want to know how quickly they can generate a usable, copyright-safe background for a LinkedIn ad without needing an engineering degree.
Precisely. And then, taking a narrower, more specialized angle, DigitalOcean released a comparison of 15 generators specifically focused on animated styles and explainer videos.
That one was interesting.
It was. They dug into the mechanics of vector consistency. Like, if you're a content creator building motion graphics, this guide tells you which models won't accidentally mutate your 2D mascot into a 3D monster halfway through the video.
Yeah, which used to happen all the time.
All the time, so it's highly practical. But then there's a third piece of advice that threw me for a loop. Chase Jarvis put out an article arguing that understanding stable diffusion is now table stakes for creative professionals.
Right. He made a very strong case for that.
He did. He emphasizes that you need practical, foundational creative control rather than just relying on the user-friendly interfaces. So what does this all mean? Because I see a massive contradiction here. If tools like the ones Zapier mentioned are making generation so incredibly turnkey and business-friendly, why is Jarvis insisting that a highly technical, foundational, open-source tool like Stable Diffusion is absolute table stakes?
It's a fair question.
Aren't we supposed to be moving away from that kind of complexity?
It definitely looks like a contradiction on the surface. But it actually comes down to understanding where you sit the professional food chain.
Okay, unpack that for me.
There is a massive difference between a turnkey client solution, which Zapier rightly champions for business users, and the need for raw, under-the-hood creative control.
I need you to break that difference down for me. Mechanically, what are we talking about here?
So if a social media manager needs a quick, generic 10-second clip of a city skyline at sunset, those turnkey tools are brilliant. You type the prompt, the API does the magic in a black box, and you get a video.
Right, done in 5 minutes.
Exactly. But if you are a serious creative professional, a director, a lead animator, a VFX supervisor, you cannot rely on a system where you type a prompt and cross your fingers.
Because the client will inevitably want changes.
Yes. You need absolute frame-by-frame control over the lighting source. You need to ensure the temporal consistency of a specific character's face matches the exact actor you cast. And Stable Diffusion isn't just a video generator, it's an open weights architecture.
Meaning the hood of the car is actually open for you to tinker with the engine.
Exactly that. When you use a closed API, you're submitting text and getting a compressed video file back. You can't touch anything in between.
Right.
With an open architecture like Stable Diffusion, you have access to the mathematical representation of the image before it even becomes pixels. You can inject a control net to freeze the skeletal pose of a character.
Oh, wow. So you control the actual bones.
Yes. You manipulate the noise generation step by step. Jarvis is arguing that if you don't understand the foundational mechanics of how these images are constructed from noise, you will eventually hit a hard ceiling with those shiny turnkey tools.
Because you can't fix specific detail.
Right. The client will ask for the lighting to be shifted slightly to the left, and in a turnkey tool, you have to re-roll the dice entirely and hope it works. In a foundational tool, you just move the light.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because expanding on that idea of absolute under-the-hood control brings us to the ultimate manifestation of it.
When we're talking about Comfy UI now.
We are absolutely talking about Comfy UI. The ART Daily updates heavily featured it, and it has basically become the industry standard for generative pipelines.
And Comfy UI is, without a doubt, the absolute deep end of the pool.
The deep end. But increasingly, it's the only pool that matters for high-end production. According to the updates, Comfy UI has grown far beyond its origins in image generation.
Yeah, it does everything now.
It really does. It is now a fully unified node-based platform covering video, 3D assets, and even audio. It uses reusable and shareable workflows. Now, the sources are very upfront that the learning curve is still incredibly steep.
Oh, it's a cliff, not a curve.
A cliff, yes. But no other tool gives you this microscopic level of control over a generation pipeline.
The term node-based is really the secret sauce here.
Okay.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, node-based architecture has always dominated professional creative environments.
Like in traditional Hollywood VFX.
Exactly. Think about traditional visual effects compositing tools like Nuke or Houdini. They use nodes for a very specific reason.
For the listener who might be a producer or a strategist and not necessarily a VFX artist, explain how a node-based system actually works compared to a normal app.
Sure. Think of a standard video editing app like a timeline. You apply a color filter and it affects the whole clip. It's linear. A node-based system looks more like a sprawling web or a flowchart. You aren't just applying a global filter. You are taking raw data, passing it through a specific mathematical operation, that operation is a node, and piping that exact output into the next operation via visual wires on your screen.
Got it.
So in Comfy UI, you might have one node that just loads the model, that wires into a node that processes your text prompt, that wires into a sampler node that actually calculates the pixels.
Let me try an analogy here to see if I'm tracking this.
Go for it.
Using Comfy UI is essentially like building a high-performance custom PC from individual parts. You choose the specific motherboard, you plug in the exact graphics card you want, you route the liquid cooling exactly how you want it to flow.
I like this.
Whereas the turnkey tools we mentioned earlier, the ones Zapier loves, are like buying a lockdown consumer tablet. The tablet is shiny, it turns on instantly, and it's easy to use out of the box.
Right.
But if the app crashes because it needs more RAM, you can't open the tablet. You're just out of luck.
That is a phenomenal analogy. And taking that custom PC idea further, in Comfy UI, because every component is separated, you can intercept the generation process at any single step.
Oh, meaning you can pause it mid-creation.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Let's say you render a video. The camera movement is perfect, but the character's jacket is the wrong color.
Okay. Classic client note.
Exactly. In a black box tablet tool, you have to change your text prompt and generate a whole new video from scratch, and you'll probably lose that perfect camera movement.
Which is maddening.
It is. But in Comfy UI, you don't start over. You just go into your web of nodes, find the specific step where color is applied, intercept the data, tweak the jacket, and only re-render from that point forward.
Which saves massive amounts of compute, it saves time, and frankly, it saves your sanity when a client asks for a tiny revision on a Friday afternoon.
Absolutely saves your sanity.
You aren't just rolling the dice again, you are adjusting the literal mechanics of the machine.
But, as you mentioned, building that custom PC from scratch is incredibly daunting if you've never touched a motherboard before. Staring at a blank Comfy UI canvas can be terrifying.
It looks like a spaceship dashboard. It really does. But this is why the next part of this deep dive is so encouraging. Acknowledging that massive learning curve, the open source community and the developers themselves are actively building bridges to lower the drawbridge.
Right, making it accessible.
Yes, making this immense power accessible to people who don't want to spend 3 weeks watching tutorials. The sources highlighted three massive time savers that have just hit the ecosystem.
Okay, let's know them.
First up, Run Comfy. They are now hosting over 200 pre-configured Comfy UI workflows in the cloud, covering everything from lip syncing to full text to video.
The cloud hosting aspect is a massive relief because historically running these nodes meant downloading gigabytes of model checkpoints to your local hard drive.
And buying a crazy expensive PC.
Yes. You needed an unbelievably expensive graphics card just to make the nodes fire. Run Comfy abstracts the hardware problem entirely.
Yes, you just skip the hardware tax. Next, we have comfy.org launching a dedicated workflow browser. It's essentially a directory of free, ready-to-use generation pipelines. You skip the blank canvas entirely and get straight to experimenting.
Which is great for beginners.
Really great. And finally, the official comfy.org GitHub repository just dropped. They are maintaining an official library of template workflows, including a starter template for the WAN text-to-video model we talked about earlier.
Oh, that's huge.
And because it's managed by the official source, these templates stay perfectly in sync with new updates.
That synchronization solves a very specific pain point. In an open-source node system, things break constantly.
Like updates ruining your file.
Yeah. A community developer updates a node on Tuesday, and suddenly your whole pipeline fails on Wednesday because of a dependency error. Having an official GitHub repository ensures you have a stable, functioning baseline that you know works with the latest models.
But hold on, I have to call a timeout here. I feel like I've spotted a massive contradiction in our logic.
Uh-oh. Lay it on me.
We just spent 10 minutes glorifying raw, unfiltered control. Building the custom PC from scratch, understanding the latent space, avoiding the shiny tablet.
Yes, we did.
But now, we are cheering for pre-configured templates hosted in the cloud that do all the hard work for you. Aren't we just jumping right back into the black box we literally just escaped?
It is a totally valid concern.
Yeah.
But you have to distinguish between a closed-off corporate algorithm and an open-source template.
How so?
A locked-down tablet is a cage. You cannot open it, you cannot see the code, and you cannot alter its fundamental behavior. A pre-configured Comfy UI template is a foundation. Some call it a glass box.
A glass box. Okay, I like that. Expand on that.
When you load one of these 200 Run Comfy workflows or you pull the WAN starter from GitHub, you are absolutely getting that instant gratification. It works immediately, just like a turnkey tool.
Right.
But, and this is the crucial mechanical difference, all the nodes, the math, and the visual wires are right there on your screen. You can see through the glass.
Oh, so it's not hidden from you.
Exactly. You can watch how the data flows from the prompt to the sampler to the decoder. And at any moment, you can open it up, dissect it, delete a connection, or rewire it completely to fit your project.
So it's basically a pre-built PC with a clear case.
Yes. You are getting the absolute best of both worlds, the speed of a turnkey solution, but the infinite granular customization of raw architecture. You are learning how the custom PC is built by examining a perfectly assembled one and then hot swapping the parts to suit your needs.
That makes total sense. You aren't trapped by the template, you are educated by it. And that brings us to the final and frankly the most mind-bending piece of our source material today.
This is where it gets a little wild.
It does. For the true power users, the ones who look at a pre-configured graphical interface and decide it's still too slow and clunky, the ecosystem takes one final step into pure automation.
We are talking about bypassing the visual interface entirely.
Yes. The updates highlighted a deep dive guide from a developer site, timlrx.com. This guide literally teaches users how to take these complex, sprawling, Comfy UI node workflows and turn them into standalone Python scripts.
That is a staggering leap in production efficiency.
It blew my mind. Mechanically, it completely bypasses the graphical user interface, the GUI. The guide is specifically aimed at people who are sick of babysitting the UI and want to run massive batch jobs and automated pipelines.
Right, going full developer mode.
We are going straight into the matrix here. We are taking the visual flowchart, stripping away the graphics, and executing it purely as code hitting an API endpoint.
Because underneath all those visual wires, Comfy UI is just a graphical front end running on a Python back end.
It is.
Yeah. When you link nodes together on your screen, the software is quietly just building a JSON file, a structured text file containing all your parameters, model paths.
Oh, I see.
What this guide is showing people is that you don't need the front-end graphics to slow your computer down. You can just take that JSON payload, feed it directly to the backend using a Python script, and let the server do the work.
But this is where I have to step back and ask a philosophical question.
Go ahead.
If we are completely bypassing the visual interface, and we are just letting a Python scripts churn out massive video batches in the background while we sleep, at what point does the creative part of being a creator actually disappear?
That's the big debate right now.
Like, if you aren't looking at the art while it's being made, are you still an artist?
This raises an important question, and it's the exact existential crisis the entire VFX and creative industry is wrestling with right now. But I look at the mechanics of it, and I would argue that code-driven automation doesn't kill your creativity. It scales it.
How so? Because it sounds like we're just turning art into a server farm.
Think about what it actually means to babysit a UI as a professional.
Hmm.
It means you are sitting at a desk, staring at a progress bar, waiting for a render.
Yeah, which is boring.
The video finishes. You notice the lighting is 5% too dark. You make one tiny adjustment to a slider, and you hit render again. Then you wait another 20 minutes. That is incredibly tedious. That isn't art. That's administration.
That is a very fair point. No one became an animator because they love watching loading bars.
Exactly. By turning that node workflow into a headless Python script, you elevate the human from being a button pusher to a true director of automated creative systems.
So you're managing the whole system.
Yes. You spend your finite creative energy designing the perfect system, setting the parameters, defining the artistic boundaries, building the logic in Comfy UI. Then you export it to Python and let the machine do the heavy administrative lifting of executing 1,000 microscopic variations overnight.
And then in the morning.
When you wake up, you review the results and pick the masterpiece. The creativity is in the architecture of the system itself, not in the manual labor of click and generate. You are directing a digital studio, not just operating a single camera.
So the art form shifts from painting the individual frame to designing the engine that paints the frames.
Exactly.
That is a wild paradigm shift, but it completely tracks with the trajectory we've traced today. Let's summarize this incredible journey we've just been on.
It really has been a rapid escalation from the consumer level to the absolute bleeding edge of developer workflows.
It really has. We started at the surface, feeling the pain of the paradox of choice. We saw how aggregator platforms like Higgsfield and Fella.ai are stepping in to unify tools like Kling, Veo, and Sora, acting as universal translators to help us manage our compute budgets and workflows efficiently.
Right, giving us that universal remote.
Yeah. Then we explored how business resources from Zapier and DigitalOcean are helping us translate technical specs into actual client solutions, while Chase Jarvis reminded us why foundational open weights knowledge like Stable Diffusion remains absolutely critical.
Right, acknowledging that you must know how the engine works if you want to push the car past its factory limits.
Exactly, which plunged us straight into the deep end with Comfy UI, the ultimate node-based custom PC for generation. And while that learning curve is steep, tools like Run Comfy and the official GitHub repos are acting as glass boxes, lowering the drawbridge with pre-built templates you can dissect and learn from.
Making it accessible without dumbing it down.
Spot on. And finally, for the true power users, we looked at how guides from timlrx.com are teaching people to bypass the interface entirely, using Python scripts to turn manual generation into automated, scalable pipelines.
It's a complete evolution from casual prompting to professional programmatic directing.
Truly. And to you listening right now, we really hope this duck dive has given you a solid, actionable mental map of this rapidly evolving landscape. Whether you're a marketing manager deciding where to spend your subscription budget based on Zapier's guide, or a VFX supervisor figuring out if you need to finally learn node-based workflows, the tools to tame the chaos are finally here and ready for you to use.
And I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, building on the exact trajectory we just mapped out.
Lay it on us.
We just talked about platforms like Fell.ai that can automatically benchmark the best models. We talked about Python scripts that can execute these complex generations completely without a human looking at a visual interface.
Yeah.
So the logical question becomes, how long until AI systems are sophisticated enough to start writing, testing, and optimizing their own Comfy UI workflows based on a simple script you hand them?
Oh, wow. Wait, so the AI builds the custom PC for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When the machine is no longer just generating the paint, but becomes both the artist and the pipeline engineer, what will your role be?